Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you are listening to Midwatch with the Rev. And we are here excited to be part of Rev Media Network, a moving force for the faith of God. Now, doesn't that sound weird? Well, that's going to kind of be the topic today. I'll get into that in a second. Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Or you can address it to Rev Media Network, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You know, I was doing our tax reporting for the ministry this last year. We got to fill out a 990 form and to let them know how much funds we got in and stuff, just to signify that we are in operation and everything. And we have to do that yearly. And the laws have changed. If you don't make that change, you're not going to be able to have your 501c anymore. Anyway, I was able to take care of that before when I got the notice. And it's just when I looked at the things that I was doing, I looked at all the DBAs we have, because we have Rev Media Network, where Revelation Ministries is the 501c, but it's DBA doing business as Rev Media Network, Rev Media Publishing, Rev Media TV, David Yanez Ministries International, and Rev Life. And I was filling out this stuff, and I'm like, and every year it seems to grow just a tad. Just a tattoo, another name, and we're gonna see what happens in faith. We're gonna see what happens in the things that we do. Just seeing what God does with us and how God makes things happen. We know that God is a powerful God, and He is able to move things. And I was having a lunch today, and I thought of a good subject. It's something that's been pondering on my heart, but just talking to a good friend of mine, it made me realize everything that we are. We are beginning to be told or beginning to make happen now in our lives. And one of the things is we have a social network, and I understand about that. And I've been told many times that the social network is something that we need to be doing all the time. And I'm not on top of that. In fact, last night was the first time I got on our Facebook accounts for the ministries for, I don't know, two weeks probably. Occasionally I'll post when I have someone on show, or like I'm going to be an interview today by Agent Outside the Box, one of our new shows. I'll be doing an interview today at 6 p.m. Eastern time, so, or 7 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Central time. So 6 o'clock I'll be on the air via Skype with them to join them. And I tell you right here, my friends, you know, it's good to be interviewed and talked to and stuff. And a lot of people tell me you're supposed to continue to keep putting stuff out there, keep making things happen. And I tell you what, when you look at it, and where is the line? And this is what I'm trying to say. Where is the line between self-promotion and letting people know what you're doing? And if you're at that line, what part of it is part godly and part selfishly, or, you know, whenever you're promoting yourself, you're wanting something in return, true or not? If you're promoting yourself, you're wanting someone to give you something or get something from you. At what point in your walk with God and in ministry, I think we go this fine line. And I met a lot of wonderful people that you've heard this week on the show, and people you're going to hear today promoting their ministry and stuff. It's a necessity to let people know what you're doing. But we all, as artists, as talk show hosts, as ministers, as even as individuals, we promote ourselves to a point. And look at me. It's basically what you're saying. Look what I'm doing is basically what you're saying. Later on, I'm going to have a couple of scriptures. We're going to close out with those scriptures later on and tell you a little bit of what the gospel says about it. But think about this just for a minute, especially when you're going to hear this next interview with Teresa Scanlon. And we have Teresa Scanlon and Calvin Jones. Teresa Scanlon is Miss America 2011. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman, and a beautiful woman of faith. And she was on the Midwatch show at the NRB, and we were able to do a quick, I think it's maybe 15-minute interview with her, maybe 20 minutes. And it was a good interview, and she shares a lot about this. So I wanted to kind of get this ready for you. But think about this. How many times do we look at on the web and we're told every time that this this video went viral, or this picture went viral, or it seems like, it literally seems like everything tries to go viral. Everything tries to go viral when you're out there on the social networks. I mean, the goal, I think, is to get a ministry or something to be viral. And, you know, one thing I got to say is I just don't understand. Half the time that the ministry itself or the person itself purposes to make this thing viral, to promote themselves, to get things out there. Now, it's good, you know, it is. It'll let people know. But how many out there are just doing things? Y'all remember the person that was, they went kind of extreme. They put their kid in an air balloon and they sent him across the state or the city and said that he got lost up there to get the attention. Now, one of the individuals was an actor. The other one was, I forget what they were, the parents of this child. And they wanted to make something go viral so bad that they made it happen. And sometimes we don't know what will go viral. We don't. We sometimes something simple. I believe the kid in the car with the face that he made went viral. Recently I read a picture of a guy, this picture that went viral, just because it was a good picture and he was just very photogenic and had a perfect smile and everything, and it went viral. Nothing we can plan can. Or nothing that can happen and nothing we can plan can outdo the hand of God in your life and in your ministry. I guess that is the best way I can say it. As many people as we see out there that want to see things happen to just go viral, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen overnight. You know, the scripture said it is like cloud without rains. Solomon said this. And cloud without rains, what does that mean? It's in Proverbs. Cloud without rains. That's basically a lot of hype, but nothing producing out of it. You can overcrowd the area with this cloud, but there's nothing coming out of that cloud. Nothing that's going to help anyone. I have always looked at our station and looked at the things that we do, not in a self-promotion kind of way, but just in a promotion kind of way, saying, hey, this is what we're doing and this is how we can offer you things to help you. I just got an email before we came on the air, and the email said that we're just approved to host June Hunt shows on a regular basis, and we have to get a contract put together. And it was a promotion thing, not a self-promotion. Oh, look what David Yanez is doing. But no, look what we can help you with. Let us move your ministry further. The other day I got off the phone with a great individual from North Carolina, Pastor Rob Coons, and they are just so grateful to having the opportunity to stream and the simplicity that we bring it and that it's free. That they have opened the doors and all different things that they have just to be a blessing to our life. And they're going to reciprocate in different ways. And I just got to tell you this, my friends. It got in my spirit the last week or two. It has gotten in my spirit that you have to trust God to move your ministry. And you shouldn't be focusing on what can I make myself look popular. You know, I looked at all of our websites yesterday. I looked at Rev Ministries. I looked at everything, see how I can improve it. And not improve it just to drive traffic. You know, I want to do my part. Because you see, you got to do your part for God to move for you. You know, there's certain things that have to be on your site and stuff to make it attractive for people to come and look at. It's that the little spiders and robots will pick up on the search engines. So you do your part. And you let God do the rest. Amen. You let God do the rest for you. And I was looking at all our sites, and I'm rebuilding Rev Media Publishing. I accidentally pressed publish when I meant to press save. So right now it's kind of halfway built. And I am like looking for time just to sit there and rebuild it. And I shouldn't have started it last night, but I shouldn't have. But I'm working on it. So Felicia, if you're listening to me, forgive me. I goofed up. Felicia's our web master is what they call him. She's actually my cousin and one of my best go-to for graphics and web design stuff that I can't understand. I try to take care of as much as I can, but you're not going to know everything. You're not going to be able to do everything. But those things that you can do and those that you do, you know, just do it unto the Lord and just do it at your best. So I know I can fix this site, but it's just taking me time. But And I looked at things. So I went ahead and looked at the Facebook pages. And, of course, they've changed it to that new timeline thing, which is fine with me. I have no problems with it. In fact, I think it looks better and gives a better history of it. But what I looked at was we had like 13 likes on Rev Media Network. I'm like, oh, that's that's not great. But I'm grateful for those that liked it. And it was enough likes so I can get the name Facebook.com/Rev Media Network. Well, I went to go do the same thing for Rev Media Publishing, Rev Ministries, and there is not enough likes in those yet. There is not enough likes. Well, I spend my majority of the time, yes, I do, on Rev Media Network, so the majority of those likes will probably be on that. And I don't put this stuff through my friends or put it on their timelines or put it on anyone. I don't do that because I don't burden people with that stuff. I just trust God, and I just put it out there and see what happens. And I even had a friend that was a good friend of mine and said, man, it seems like there should be more likes on that page. And he goes, you should do some stuff. And I said, dude, I love you, but you know I'm not all into that. It's not about that for me. It's not. I mean, what is it for you? What are you trying to make viral? What are you trying to make happen? What are you trying to get going that you're trying to do this stuff? But you got to let God do the stuff. You know, there's not enough for us as individuals to do everything. You know, it's nice to say, hey, this is what I'm doing and this is how I can help you. And if you ever need this, you can. And it's different when we say, please put me in this place because I really need to be here. I really want to be here. You know, when you trust God and when you let Him become your source in promotion, your source in getting to where you need to be, it's different. Nothing can stop, and you've heard me say this many times, nothing can stop the hand of God. Nothing can stop what God is doing. No force on earth, no force in heaven can stop the very hands of God when it moves forward and it puts its favor on someone. Only God can stop His hand. Can we have an amen on that? Oh, Brother David's preaching. This may be my Sunday preaching night service. If you come to Words of Life Church in Atascocita, Sundays at 6 p.m., this Sunday I'll be preaching. We're going to start making some changes there. My spirit is stirred. I've been praying and speaking to the Lord, and I've been thinking and pondering. And I tell you what, my spirit is really, really moved. Really moved to do something. There's something God is doing. I'm praying and speaking in tongues to the Lord, figuring things out, trying to work this out. I tell you, there's nothing like it. And I said speaking in tongues. Yes, I do. And I have a book from one of my latest authors, Gerald Davis. It's called Should I Speak in Tongues? You can get this at GeraldDavisMinistries.org. That's GeraldDavis.org. GeraldDavis.org. You can get this. It is a book that I was very happy to publish. It is a family edition which has family pictures of him and his family. And I want you to get this book. He's selling it for $12. I'll have it on our ministry site, Rev Ministries Bookstore, which is the bookstore for all the websites. It's Rev Ministries Bookstore. It's bookstore.revministries.com. And you'll be able to get this book by tomorrow. I can't promise tonight because I'm fixing this other thing that I goofed up on. So I can promise maybe tomorrow. But I really want you to get this book. We're going to do a huge promotion. He's going to be on Divine Intervention, hopefully. And he's also going to be an Agent Outside the Box, the two places that I've been to. And I'm hopefully going to try and get him on Sid Roth as well. So, you know, God is opening the doors. And I believe this, my friends, and I want you to grasp this. Sowing and reaping. There's a motive behind when you sow something, your motive is what you're trying to reap. When God sowed Jesus, His motive was love. His source was sowing Jesus. His harvest was receiving us. When you sow your seeds financially, your motive is to grow. Your motive is to sow so you can grow, so you can have prosper. And when you put that in there, it'll prosper and you reap what you sow. Well, I'm sowing promotion to Gerald, to my pastor, to everyone that I work with in the book ministry. I'm sowing and promoting them. And what am I going to reap? I'm going to reap promotion. I'm sowing promoting these new artists that came on our station. I'm sowing into these people's lives to promote them as well on our station, these book writers. And I tell you why. Because there's reaping behind what I'm doing. Every time I do something, there's a motive behind it, whether it's love, whether it's reaping something. God gives us that ability. Promotion will come, my friends. There's a sermon that I wrote on that, and it's probably one of my top sellers when I go out and preach. Promotion will come. And I really believe that you can be a blessing to someone, and God will open doors for you. I know it'll be so much easier to win the lotto. Praise God. It'll be so much easier if your ministry went viral and everybody knew about you and just invited you to everything, to do everything. But there is a time, there is a place under the sun that God has ordained for your day for ministry. And there's no rushing to it. There's no quick way to get there. There's no way that you're going to make it happen overnight. Praise God. You know how long it takes to become an overnight success? A lifetime, my brother. A lifetime, my sister. How many people have seen these people that have overnight become changed, become different? Well, their whole life has changed. And it's one in millions that has that happened to. But what I'm talking about is patience. What I'm talking about is consistency. What I'm talking about is faithfulness. What I'm talking about is working the plan that God has stirred in your heart. We are going to go to a quick commercial. When we come back, we're going to have Miss Teresa Scanlon and Calvin Jones. And if we have enough time, I have one more person lined up, and that's going to be John Slit from Petra. But we'll be right back after this quick break. And I don't have anything lined up, so I think we'll just go right here. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. Before I was born again, my mind took me on a complex journey of self-deception. It separated me from Jesus. Even now, as a born-again believer, it would do the same if I allowed it. However, I now have the ability to discern God's thoughts from my thoughts. I can take my ungodly thoughts captive and bring them into line with the mind of Christ. Very often we make excuses for our behavior and we argue our point to justify our deception. But revelation of the Word of God divides lies from the truth, and that revelation will demolish our argument. If we read and believe what God's Word says, our thinking will be renewed and we will rise up in victory. We will soar above the demolished rubble of self-focused nonsense that pretends to be the reason for our lack of active faith. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your mind. Amen.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
I asked American League umpire Ted Barrett what went through his mind after he worked his first World Series game.
As a young man, I used to dream about playing in a World Series, but you know, to be out there umpiring in it, ever since I started out at umpire school, it was my dream to one day work a World Series, and it came true. And it was exciting, it was fun, but I tell you, it is nothing compared to the love of Jesus Christ. And that is first and foremost in my life. And I just encourage anybody that's listening that maybe doesn't have a relationship with Christ to find out what it's all about and to just get with somebody that you know knows the Bible and ask questions and decide for yourself.
For more sports, go to a second look at sports.org.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we have a special show for you today. And we're doing this here at the NRB. We've been here all week long, and we have a special guest, Miss Teresa Scanlon.
Correct? Yes, yes.
And Calvin. What's your last name?
Jones.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad y'all can join us, and tell me what y'all been doing here at the NRB.
Oh, goodness, a little bit of everything, really. We're here promoting our new album we just released a month ago called Dueling Pianos. It's a compilation of a lot of Calvin's pieces that he's composed over the past 25 years, as well as a piece called Whitewater Chopsticks that I played for the Miss America pageant, actually, when I won in January of 2011. Played it for the talent portion of the competition and ended up winning the talent award. And then going forward, we decided that we would add it to the album. That that version of it, as well as a piece called After All, a vocal piece that he wrote for me. So there's one vocal piece on there, the rest is piano instrumental music, and we made a video of us both playing Whitewater Chopsticks, dueling it out on two different pianos.
Oh,
and
I see it on
really?
The,
okay.
Okay.
Yes,
now,
and people can vote on that video, too.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you what,
vote for me. Vote for me? Yes! People need to vote
for me.
So there you go. See?
I'm sorry.
It's just a magnetic attraction.
Oh,
he's
going to
leave.
Good.
No, hold him.
I'm out of here.
No. So, yeah, I see that you have people asking people to go ahead and vote as well and stuff. And
yes.
So who's leading?
I am, I think.
You are not. He's lying.
So have you always played the piano?
I've played for 11 years. Okay. I started when I was 7 years old and continued to take lessons and play. Calvin has, of course, been playing for much longer than that, so why don't you talk about your history
there? That's why
you
should vote for me, because I have been playing longer.
Oh, goodness.
But, no, yeah, I started playing when I was about 6, actually.
Okay.
And I've been recording for about 25 years, in fact.
Wow.
Whitewater Chopsticks is 25 years young this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you actually asked him to teach you, to mentor you on the piano?
Later on, actually.
Okay.
I already played the piece for several pageants.
Okay.
I played it for Miss Nebraska and ended up winning Miss Nebraska.
All right.
And then when I was planning on playing it for Miss America, the Miss America organization needed to get clearance from him to play the piece on national TV.
Okay.
So at that point, they contacted him, and then we found out we were right near each other. He was in Fort Collins, Colorado, and I was in Western Nebraska. So at that point, then, we were able to get together and work together on the piece prior to Miss America.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
It was pretty incredible. We had a great time together, and it was just amazing how God made everything work out. The timing was just perfect, and it couldn't have been better, really.
And even while you were in the pageants and stuff, you're already saved and following the Lord at that time as well?
Yes. I was.
Wow.
I was baptized and accepted the Lord when I was 7. I grew up in a Christian family, very blessed to do so. Of course, as I, went through middle school and high school especially, it was a very difficult time.
Absolutely.
With my faith.
Absolutely.
And truly, competing over the past several years, especially this past year as Miss America, really, really helped my faith.
I've seen when you won, you had your hands lifted like that.
Yes.
That was amazing.
I read through quite the journey leading up to that point.
Wow.
It was a journey of learning to trust God.
Okay.
And when that happened, it was just a huge realization of what he was capable of.
Okay.
And seeing God working in my life, and I was kind of overwhelmed with that, I guess.
Was there a lot of people in the pageant itself that knew your faith and what you believed in and stuff?
Luckily, actually, which is very interesting, many of the women who were competing, out of the 53 contestants who compete at Miss America, good majority of them were believers, and so it was great.
Do you have Bible study and stuff with them? Or?
We always prayed together before each show.
Okay.
Even the top five, when we were called as the top five finalists, we prayed backstage before we went out to see who would win and all of that. So it was just a great camaraderie to be able to be trusting in God along with these other women, to be understanding along with them that we had the opportunity at that point to shine as a light for Christ in that arena.
So it was
very neat to have that.
And what was your thinking? I mean, were you genuinely surprised when they called your name?
Yes, absolutely, because I was 17,
okay.
And a 17-year-old had not won since
1937. Wow.
And I was from Nebraska,
okay.
And Miss Nebraska had never won Miss America.
Wow.
90 years the pageant's been around, and Miss Nebraska had never won. So I absolutely thought it was 100% impossible.
Okay.
So I went into it with the mindset of, I'm not going to win. There's just no way.
Really?
And so when that happened, it was just something I hadn't dreamt of in a million years. And again, truly a testament to God, but it was incredible.
So were you holding your breath when they announced the 10 finalists?
Not really, actually, because again, I thought I was going to be done, and I was ready to go home, and I had had a great time, and I had done well, so I was happy.
So after they announced the 10, when you heard your name in there, what'd you think?
At that point, actually, through each elimination, when they did 15, 10, 12, 10, 5, it was so fast that you don't really have time to think. I mean, you really are just running from one thing to the next, and the minute they call your name, you're thinking, okay, I need to go get changed. I need to get ready for this. So that's all that goes through your mind
Oh, wow. And immediately afterwards, what did you do?
The night of course, is absolutely crazy. You have a national press conference with just about every media outlet across the nation. That night, you get hardly any sleep. You pack up, and Sunday morning, fly out to New York City to start your media tour. And don't go home then until Easter. and then Christmas. 1 week for Easter, 2 weeks for Christmas. Other than that, you are on the road 24/7, and that starts right the day after you're crowned.
Oh, wow. And you were at the 2012 one.
Yes, okay. Yes. I crowned Miss America 2012 just a month ago. It was January 14th. And so Miss Wisconsin is our new Miss America.
Okay.
And she's a fantastic woman as well, a believer as well.
All right.
Is working with children of incarcerated parents. That's her platform.
Okay.
And it was just really great to be able to be there and see this new set of women going through, of course, everything I had gone through, and understanding all of that and being on the other side of things and being able to watch and cheer for them and try to encourage them in any way that I could through that week. And it was just really enjoyable this year.
Oh, wow. And your reign for the year, how did that feel?
It was crazy. It was a whirlwind.
Fast,
it was kind of like a blank and it was done. It was a big blur.
Okay.
I traveled about over 10,000 miles a month to 38 states by the end of the year.
That's
five
good
countries.
Freaking flyer mileage
exactly,
there.
Exactly.
You taking some good vacations now?
I do. It's been good. So it was just a very interesting life for a year.
And what was your platform?
My platform's on eating disorders awareness.
Oh,
the
wow.
wristband that I wear is that for
is
that.
Beautiful.
It says accept yourself, accept others. And I've worked with quite a few organizations that work with health and nutrition and wellness in general, also bullying, also just so many of these factors that are a part of the issue.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been pretty incredible to meet so many young women that are struggling with eating disorders and going through that, and to try to do what I can to serve as an inspiration.
Absolutely. That's something that needs their awareness.
I mean,
the U.S. suffers that a lot.
Exactly.
And other countries even worse at
mm-hmm.
times.
Right,
and
right.
Think what Argentina and Brazil, places like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is important.
Yes.
And I'm glad you championed that, and you
you
made people notice that, but also you brought the faith to them
mm-hmm.
as well. And
right.
Has a lot of doors open for you for ministry?
Oh, absolutely. And really, I see any opportunity as an opportunity for
ministry,
absolutely,
yes.
You know? And that's been the really neat part about everything that I've been able to do through this, is that in every venue, whether I'm talking to girls about eating disorders or I'm serving in any capacity with the children's hospitals we visit or the military events, In anything that I do, it's a great opportunity to be able to serve as an example of Christ, but also to be able to witness to those around you, to explain to them that you do trust the Lord, and that's why your life is different. That's why you feel true peace and happiness and joy and contentment, and to try to share that with them, and hopefully that they will be searching after the same thing.
Amen. So you brought kind of the starlight to Nebraska for a year.
Yes.
You, the starlight to Colorado.
That's right.
Correct?
Calvin's been at that for a lot more than 1 year.
A couple more, yeah.
Yes.
And it's amazing. God can use anyone, anywhere.
Exactly.
And you don't have to be from anywhere like New York or Los Angeles.
Right.
Praise
right.
God.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, Calvin and I have talked about the fact that it's interesting how in both of our capacities we feel as though we can reach a broader audience, because as he works with instrumental music, primarily with piano, oftentimes that opens up doors to unbelievers and to those who aren't in this very close-knit circle sometimes
right.
that Christian music can
right.
really only infiltrate,
right.
that his music can infiltrate all people, all genres, and reach such a greater audience and hopefully impact them for the glory of God.
Amen. So, what's your favorite song out of your album?
Oh, wow. Besides Whitewater Chopsticks?
Yeah, Whitewater Chopsticks.
Probably People's Choice Award, probably October.
October, all right.
It's just a journey of a song, 7-minute journey. Yeah. So that's probably one of my favorites as well. Winter Port is probably a close second to that one.
Wow.
And October, you said, is what, a kind of a variation off of?
Yeah, it's really a takeoff of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It's kind of like my own idea, but that's where it was inspired from.
Amen.
Yeah.
What about you?
Again, probably Whitewater Chopsticks, of course, my favorite to play, but also the vocal piece, After All, is a beautiful, beautiful piece. Absolutely love it.
That's
Calvin
where you kind of
it.
Showcased your abilities there, that you can
yes.
you can sing.
And he was playing, I was singing. It's just a gorgeous piece. I love that
so
song.
So what are you more comfortable with, playing or singing?
It depends. I mean, comfortable as far as I always get nervous for playing on stage.
Oh, really?
That will never end. I mean, 11 years later, that's the one thing I get nervous for. I don't get nervous for singing on stage, but playing, yeah. But I do enjoy playing, really, and I think my abilities more lie in playing piano, but I enjoy both, really.
Oh, wow. Well, I want to tell you this. I got you both a gift here.
Oh, wonderful.
Top one's yours. I believe your name's
Thank
in that one,
you.
And your name's in that one already.
Wow.
Neat trick,
Thank
right?
Thank you so much.
And that is my book on relationships. I would really ask you, if you read it, just send me an email
okay.
with a review on it and just let me know what you think. had a lady read this in Atlanta, and she said she's read it 3 times, and every time she's read it, she's felt healing, and she's felt her relationships, that angers and stuff, being let go. So, I mean, that's your gift. Please give us
the contact information
for both of y'all.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, and then if you want to let the audience know how they can get a hold of your websites and where they can purchase your CDs, go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, they can order the CDs, contact us, whatever it may be. Find more information on teresascanlan.com. That's TeresaScanlan. And CalvinJones.com.
CalvinJones.com.
Yes. And we love to hear from anybody.
All right.
Questions, comments, feedback. I'd love to chat with anyone.
Okay, and I would love to do a longer interview with you. Maybe after the interview sometime, give you another call to pick out some topics.
Absolutely.
And Teresa, if you can tell young ladies that want to do something fabulous like you've done, what would you tell them right now?
I think more than anything, to find your identity in Christ.
Amen.
And to develop confidence in yourself for who He has made you to be, because that will change your outlook on life and who you are as a person more than anything. But then also going forward, to become who you want to be and who God wants you to be a well-rounded woman of faith, to follow what God wants for you and tells a godly, what a godly woman should be in the Bible. And that's the best way you can be successful in any way in life. Whether you're planning on competing for Miss America or doing something vastly different, becoming that well-rounded godly woman is the most important possible thing for your life.
That's about the best thing you can tell anyone. Calvin, what would I
tell young women?
Young men. You can tell young women whatever, but...
Young men. Well, it's actually very similar, right? Because God is all in all.
Amen.
All in all. And nothing else can ever replace or be in that zone.
Amen.
So one of the things that comes to your life as you grow in Christ is that... that's the most important relationship you'll ever have.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming by. And I tell you what, God honors faithfulness, God honors obedience, and God honors humility. And just being totally humble to let Him use you. And I see that both in your life. And God's going to continue growing you, continue taking you even beyond where you think you're going to go. Because His plans are so much better than our plans.
Yes.
Amen. We can only imagine so much, but He is unlimited in His imagination.
Exactly.
Thanks again, Calvin.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having us.
Okay, enjoy the book.
And,
thank you for the CD. Okay, tell me about yourself, guys. Welcome to the show. This is broadcast live. We're live right now on the radio, and we are on this TV probably soon after.
Looking back on the pages that we've turned in days gone by, like. As my life unfolds, I see the joys, the pain. And the rain will always fall upon us. After all, said and done, even then, love is still.
Amen and amen. That was Teresa Scanlon, Calvin Jones, and if you just heard that last part, that was Whitewater Chopsticks. Was actually, she won the talent show part of the Miss America campaign, and the other song was Teresa Scanlon's first vocal, After All, and that was her first vocal that she also sang that's on the CD and stuff. So, anyway, just want to get you encouraged. Just want to let you know that this is something that anyone can do. Anyone can become the Miss America. Anyone can become anything they want in life when they put God first. I love what she said at the end of the show, and that was basically be content, be happy, be satisfied with what God's given you in your body, mind, and in your spirit, and trust God that He's going to do some good things for you, and trust God that He's going to make things happen for you in faith. If you just get satisfied and completely satisfied with what your life is and stuff. And I found that scripture. Yes, I did. We're talking about going viral, talking about promotion, talking about things like that. And I want to read this one for you. It's in Proverbs 27:2. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, and a stranger and not thine own lips. This is Proverbs 27:2. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. You know, there's another scripture that also says it's best to sit at the end of the table and then to sit at the beginning of the table and be asked to be set back. Sometimes if you speak too much of yourself or try and speak too great of yourself, they're going to tell you to go in and they're going to leave stuff out there that you're going to be asked to step back. In other words, let me see if I can explain it better. How was I thinking about it earlier? If you promote yourself too much and it's just a lot of you putting yourself forward, wouldn't you rather people bring you forward and say how great you are and how good you're doing things and how nice the things that you're doing are happening for the Lord? But I mean, if you trust God that He will promote you, then He will do a great job in promoting you. I don't think we have time for one more interview. I'm trying to see if we have enough time. I think we could squeeze it in. I have another interview, and that's with John Slit from Petra. And we'll see if we can pull that up real quick. And it shouldn't take all that long. And lost my place where we're at. Here we go. NRB shows. If you trust God, God's going to do great things for you. You don't have to worry about making yourself sound so great and everything. Now, this one's John Slit from Petra.
And a man of God that doesn't need any introduction, John Slit. Say hi, John.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
With that kind of introduction, what can I say after that? Okay, we're done. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we have him here, and we're excited to have him because, you know, not everybody in here is going to get him, but we got him, and we're grateful. We're grateful. There's not enough time in the day. You want to interview everyone, and I got booked up so quick, but when I seen John's name, I'm like, I can make some room for this man.
Oh, you're a nice guy. Thank you.
And, you know, I was telling him he was my favorite singer on Petra and stuff, and he's just amazing. But, John, tell me what's been going on lately.
Working on a new project, very unusual project. It's called The Greater Cause, and from the time it was financed on through, it's been totally unique and unusual. Basically, I did something through something called Kickstarter,
okay,
which allowed me to have like 500 different teammates. Basically, but took about 500 people to invest in my project, anywhere from $10 to $4,000.
Wow!
And now they're part of my team. They're just, wow, you know, they're partners in this new CD, finished recording it about 2 months ago, and working on distribution right as we speak. It should be all finalized and starting to press probably the end of next month. And I'm excited about it. I think it's probably one of the finest records I've done in a long, long time.
Wow. Tell us about the record. Tell us what's going on with
it. It's called The Greater Cause, and really it started from a morning devotional that my wife and I did, and looking for a subject matter of a new CD. This is way back before it was even thought of. And the term The Greater Cause came out, and we're like, my wife actually thought of it. Said, what do you think about the greater cause? I said, well, it's got a nice ring to it. Well, I wonder, you know. And as time went on, she is a very big word person. So okay. She goes in and looks the definition for cause. And it's reason or motive.
Okay.
And that started flowing well with me because I really felt God was putting on my heart that we as Christians need to start making a difference rather than sit back and let the just basically be bounced around like little puppets.
Yeah, that's true.
I felt like we needed to start making a difference and being the frontline warriors that God's always wanted us to be.
Amen.
And so with that came a lot of different, I mean, there's so many different things that are going on that we need to be a part of. But as I was thinking through all these different subject matters, I'm going, okay, what's motivating me? Why am I doing it? Is it anger? Is it revenge? What's my motivations for wanting to change these things? So then the greater cause came up, and it reason, motive, and it just made so much sense. So when the Kickstarter thing came through and the finances was taken care of, we started recording. I had certain subject matters that I wanted to sing about, and we brought in amazing writers, amazing musicians. Everything about this record was just of God.
Amen.
It has not. I don't think there's a weak spot in the whole thing. The artwork of the CD is beautiful. It's really very appropriate, very cool.
Amen.
And so, to say the least, I'm very proud of this record. I'm very excited about it. I think it's going to make a difference in a lot of people's lives. I know it's made a difference in mine. And so, anxious, Dave, for us to be able to talk about it today.
Amen. And now, you wrote a song for your for Dorla on this,
yes,
correct?
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
It's our 40th anniversary this year, actually last year. And right during the time we were writing doing the CD, I said, I am going to do a song for my wife. It may be self-gratifying, but I am going to do a song for my wife and put it on my CD. I hope people enjoy it, but this is for her. And it's called The Gift, Dorla's Song. And it basically says, I'm singing God. I'm saying, Lord, thank you for the gift you've given me called my wife.
Wow, that's important.
It's very important.
We need to see our wives as gifts.
Absolutely.
We need to treat them as gifts.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping that through this song, men will go, you know what? Okay, I see what he's talking about. It's very, you know, it tells my life story. But as I was listening, I'm going, I'll bet you that's the story of many, many men. And wives, I'll bet you this story is more relative to more people than just me. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
But I did make it very direct to our situation. I wanted my wife to know exactly who I was singing about, and there was no pretense about it.
And she's heard the song?
Oh, yeah.
And what did she think the first time she heard it?
She loved it. She gave me a big hug and said, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
Amen.
It was important to me because she's going to hear it the rest of her life. And
that's amazing. That's amazing. Besides that song, what other song pops out on that album?
I would say probably the first song called "Live It Loud," and I am a person who believes that as Christians we need to make a difference.
Amen.
We cannot be ashamed of the body of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How dare we ever hesitate from speaking the truth about Him. If you don't cherish me, why should I cherish you? It's one of those things where I want to see Christians start walking loudly. I want to see them making noise, and by making noise, I mean acting the part they say they are. You know, you can live life loud by just being a Christian. You can make a difference in people's lives by functioning as a Christian would function, you know, and how would Jesus have done it? You know, what would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do? How are you going to react in life to situations that come at you every day? And when I say live it loud, I mean, we want to see. It's like shouting out, "I'm a Christian." How do you shout it out? Not with necessarily the voice, but with your actions.
Yes, that is true. That is true. I seen this was a bumper sticker one time when I was driving, and it said, I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean I'm weak, and that doesn't mean I'm soft.
Praise God.
You know I just thought of that when we're talking, and that is exactly the message you want to put out.
It is. I've never been one that thought being a weak Christian was a good thing.
No.
In fact, I think it's very disgusting. What do you mean by weak? I mean, when we're supposed to walk, we run.
Amen.
And that's wrong.
Yeah.
We should be running in the direction of God, what God's leading.
Amen.
Us. We are to be the cutting edge. I still believe that. I think we're, for some reason, God's chosen us as his tools. Now, if his tools are running in the wrong direction, what kind of action gets done?
Nothing.
Exactly. So I think it's very, this whole record, I think, sort of leans in that direction. I've got a song called No Fear. And it basically says, I'm not putting up with fear anymore. I'm not to live in fear. My Lord Jesus Christ took care of that. I'm going to walk the walk of faith and go in courage. These are actually, someone heard this CD and basically, you know, this album, it's one of my Kickstarter people. They've all got the downloads already. They got it a day after Christmas.
Okay.
And so I've had 500 people tell me what they think of the record. And basically, one wrote to me and says, you know, this is a whole album of anthems. I couldn't have said it better. I think it is. I think we need anthems.
Absolutely.
We need something to stand behind and go, this is
yes.
what I believe. You know, you almost want to stand there with your fist up and go, I believe, you know.
Yes.
And that's sort of been my stance my whole life. And just to have a CD that possibly will be able to do that's pretty exciting to me.
You have Grammys. You have Dove Awards. You have your memorabilia all over the place in Hard Rock Cafes. What does that mean to you? What is all that?
Great keys to open up doors that wouldn't have been opened otherwise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really,
I remember listening to you in the 80s when I was growing up as well, and I would have my Petrick gear, and everybody's like, who is that?
And
it's like, you know, the Christian music scene wasn't there yet. You know, now it's there. You know, but I can tell you right now, you're a pioneer. Yeah. Everyone in the 80s that just kept it going and pushing it and making sure this ain't going to fail, this is going to work, we're going to be the voice of Christ through music.
Amen.
Everybody in the 80s, in the 70s before, everyone, that was the push. That's what broke it through. If those people like yourself, like Amy Grant, other people, Phil, did not keep pushing, could not keep right. pushing, it would not be the scene that it is today.
Praise God.
I believe that, and I see that.
I can't say you're right, because that would be a little too egotistical.
Yeah.
but I know what you're saying, and I thank you for believing that. I just know that we were doing what we're supposed to do, as we are now. I mean, the guys in Petra now they all have different, you know, callings in their life.
Yeah.
Now, and they're still following that.
That's good.
As I am, you know, my calling now is to, you know, still use my voice.
Okay.
You know, as a solo artist, to try to get the message out that God's put in my heart at this point. And because I have 20 years of Petra, that, again, and the Grammys and all that, that does open up doors.
Oh, absolutely.
And allows me to do what God's put on my heart at this moment. I mean, I'm a very blessed person, let's face it.
And as a solo artist, what's your focus?
Same thing was with Petra.
Okay.
Just let the Christians know that God's not dead. Be encouraged. He's alive and well. The body of Christ is growing leaps and bounds. I was just in India. And there was a pastor that came on just before me, and he says, do you realize the body of Christ is expanding leaps and bounds? He says, I've been all over the world, and I've seen it. I'm going, but that's my line. Praise God. And he's seen it, too. It's very cool.
Oh.
And we do need to encourage people.
I mean, absolutely.
The media here in this country is almost controlled by the enemy. And
it is.
And
it is.
They're basically
no doubt.
Saying,
There's
well,
no
you
doubt.
Know, the Christian walk has been old-fashioned. It's all gone. No, it's not. It's not old-fashioned. You just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And so we've got to understand what kind of battle we're going through.
Amen.
That's part of it. And then to the non-Christian, why aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Why aren't you letting the God of the universe walk with you hand in hand? Why are you trying to do it on your own? Those are probably two messages that Petra has been delivering for, you know, 20 years I was in it, and then the five afterward. And that's what I'll be saying for the rest of my life.
Amen. What part of India were you in?
I was in the northeast corner for three shows, and then the southeast corner in Bangalore.
Bangalore. Okay, I go to India twice a year.
I was in Shillong. Two other cities, Shillong, and up in the hill country.
Okay, all right.
With what's that area called? The
Taj Mahal area? Or?
No, I can't believe it. Well, anyway, I was in that area.
Okay, yeah, I go to Orissa State.
The hill country.
Okay, the hill country.
Yeah.
I go to Orissa State. We have two orphanages out there, and we have I do healings ministry. I think this last trip we did 18 services. For every healing service we do, we plant a church. and we have a pastor that throws it there. The church may be 5-10 people. It doesn't matter. It's a church, and it builds.
Yes, absolutely.
And the last place I went to, I prayed for an entire village, and when I got back, I had a report that over 1,200 people were healed, and there was no sickness in the village at all. So I tell you, God is doing
it. Oh, do you tell me that God works?
Oh, yeah.
You mean God's plan works? What are you talking about, Dave? You can't say that on the radio or TV. Come on.
And you know, I even went further than that. When I got back, I started preaching on Jesus, 100% miracle working power, went to the valley and held healing services, and the same miracles that happened in India. You know what? They work in the United States, too.
If we allow it, huh?
Absolutely, and the pastors were
open
to it.
You know, God never forced us to do anything.
Absolutely.
So, sort of like the United States right now almost seems like it's one gigantic hometown where the prophet is not honored in his hometown.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
And I think the United States is one gigantic hometown.
Amen.
And we need to get over that.
Amen. What's coming up in 2012 for you?
A tour.
Tour, okay.
Do I have dates? No. My goal is to have a band tour to feature this CD and see what God has in store for us there.
Amen.
Worldwide.
Amen.
I want to go all over.
Now, how can people get a hold of you, and how can people find out more information?
JohnWSchlitt.com.
JohnWSchlitt.
That would be the quickest, and please do. Find out what's going on. There's a lot going on right now, and I would love for them to be part of it. If
Amen.
They feel like I might be able to do a service in your home area, please contact me.
Okay.
If you want tracks, you know, if you just want me, that's great. If you want a band, let me know in a little advance, and I will try to fit you into the schedule of the tour. And I'm excited about it. I really think that there's a lot going to be happening. God's got big plans. This album wouldn't have gone so smoothly.
Amen.
If God wasn't planning on using it.
Amen. Well, I am grateful. And this is your montage?
Yeah, the montage, yes.
This mine?
Yes, it is, sir.
Oh, I'm so happy. And I believe your wife got the book?
Yes, she did.
And
thank you so much.
We appreciate you. I'm going to take a picture with you real quick, but let me put some music on. Hey, this is JohnWSchlitt, and he wants to say goodbye to you and tell you that he loves you. Go ahead, brother. Tell the audience goodbye.
Guys, God bless. Love talking with you. Thank you for your interest. I hope that things go well with you today. God bless you, and let God's plan be part of your life.
That's the best nugget anyone can give you. Let God be the plans for your life. And we'll be back in just a minute with our next guest. God bless you. Just keep staying listening, because we're doing some great things.
Amen and amen. That was JohnWSchlitt from Petra. And that was a good show that we had with him. And I'll tell you what, he's a good man of God, and we're excited to have him. And we just know that he is doing the work of God. You know, he's been doing this for so long, and that's fine. That's fine. He's been doing it for quite a long time. And it's great to see a person still running with the same heart and ambition. I hope when I get there, years down the road, that I still have the same heart and same ambition that he has. And remember, God's the best promotion that you can get. Let God handle it. Let God take care of it, and he will do great things for you. Now, I was looking for the album that we ripped from John so I can play it for you, but I don't see it anywhere on our computer. It was really short songs, but that's okay, because we're at the end of our show anyway. I was going to let it go out listening to one of John's quick promos that we have on there. Give me a second. Let me see if I can find it over here. Remember that scripture that I read to you. Let another man praise your accolades, or let another man praise you, it's not yourself. Let a stranger say it. I'm going to read it to you one more time before we go. I think that you're all getting this, but I want you to make sure you write down the scripture. That's Proverbs 27:2. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. It's not easy, my friends, when we look at life and we see everyone getting ahead of us, everyone doing great things for the Lord. And we try and take it our own way and how to make things happen. I found out through trial and error and just by becoming wise. And I tell you what, I claim to be wise. I claim to be wise. Why? Because it's important to be wise. And I just claim it and believe it. And I trust God for it. And I just think that if you're wise and you make yourself wise, you'll see that God's the only one that can do it. I found that promo stuff for John, and I'm going to pick the song that I want for you. There it goes. John, we're leaving with JohnWSchlitt's new single.
Yeah.
time on the Midwatch. See you next week.